B-Pod Studios.
Hey everybody, welcome to Checkpoint Daily. As I said before, hello, ciao, konnichiwa, annyeonghaseyo, and hola.
Oh, you added one.
It must take them forever to say hello with that word.
Well, no, because in informal, you just say annyeong. But you would never say that to, like, a group of people.
Got it.
Yeah.
It's like introducing yourself and saying iroshaimase.
Yeah, you wouldn't.
Wait.
No.
Yeah, isn't that how you introduce yourself for the first time?
No.
No, that's welcome to our business.
That's welcome.
I have no idea.
Iroshai is welcome.
They have a different greeting for when you're meeting someone for a first time.
But yes, they do. Anyway, in Japanese. That's Japanese.
Yeah.
But anyway, formal Asian languages. Anyway, welcome everybody to the show, Checkpoint Daily. Norris Howard here as your host, joined alongside to my left, Chad Callahan. Chad, say hello.
Hello.
You got to do better than that. and to my right, I have Callie Sloan. Hello, Callie.
I approve.
I'm here.
Okay.
All right.
2 weeks from your wedding.
2 weeks and 2 days. Oh, my God. Running out of time.
This is so cool.
Yeah, it is really cool and nerve-wracking and oh, my God.
Why are you nervous?
Just because it's like, you know, here's what it is. Everything's done. There's nothing left for us to do or rush with. And now it's just waiting.
The only thing that could happen is the stuff that could happen wrong.
Exactly. Only bad things can happen now or the weather could suck.
But it's
like,
small.
Those are the only things I have left.
But it's small now.
Only 10
so
of us, yep.
That makes it a little bit easier, question mark?
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, because you guys, because of COVID, you guys are doing a small thing and then a big thing, right?
Correct. We're doing, 10-person wedding in 2.5 weeks and 100-person wedding in May.
Man, so. That's cool. You guys will have a great time.
It's going to be great. Yeah. As long as the weather doesn't suck. Come on, Michigan. I need this one time.
Yeah.
One time.
You guys are not here to hear about Callie's wedding. Unfortunately, you're here to talk about some video games. So here's what's going on in the world of gaming.
All right. First things first, we have a trial date set for May 3rd in the case of Apple v. Epic Games. So for those who don't know, Apple and Epic Games are locked in an epic struggle for the fate of video gaming. Basically, Fortnite at one point tried to sell V-Bucks, which is their virtual currency, outside the Apple Store, and the Apple Store went absolutely not, the iOS Store did, and took Fortnite off the platform. Epic has now taken them to court, saying that they have created an effective monopoly on the iOS device, and they're trying to sue them.
Let me just say this, all right? The whole concept of boardrooms full of old crusty white men getting mad at another boardroom of old crusty white men over potentials of billions of dollars that at the end of the day barely affects consumers anywhere is the dumbest, most 2020, most 1% old, irritating, angering thing I have ever encountered in my life.
And yet it is likely to affect what platforms look like going forward.
Yes.
It's going
to
have a
big
impact.
It is going to be a landmark case that will ultimately affect where you play certain games. And let me be honest with you. Somebody's going to win, but it ain't going to be you.
No, it's going to be the battle of platform v. developer, and the consumer loses probably either way.
Either way, because if the platforms win, now they have total control of what goes on their stuff, how much money they take. There's going to be no reason for small developers and indie developers to put their stuff on this thing, because the cut that some of these platforms is going to be taking is going to price you out.
Yep.
So that isn't going to be worth it. If the developers win instead of the platforms, now it's the Wild Wild West and a bunch of BS gets put on these platforms. And no, it'll be like Android for the first 4 years of Android. It'll be the Google Store for the first 3 years, where you had a whole bunch of bloatware, adware, malware put onto that store that you couldn't use.
Yeah.
And that's what it'll be. So nobody wins.
VL Frodo in the chat is actually making a decent point. The Apple monopoly must be stopped. That's a little hyperbolic, but it could open up Apple to finally embracing third-party support. It could force Apple to finally embrace third-party support. I don't think they're ever going to be open to it.
Let me put it this way. The thing about Apple and third-party is the fact that you, and I'm pointing not at you, Frodo, but you, the consumer, have told Apple with your dollars that you're okay with them being, you know, a little authoritarian with their platform. You have not demanded that Apple be open with their platform because you keep buying their stuff.
Apple really is like 1984.
It is.
Right? Like,
they've become what they've rallied against in the 80s. Seriously.
Which was the best part of this whole thing was Fortnite releasing that, like, commercial.
It was a great commercial.
It was so it was almost a slap in the face. It was apropos. Because you knew it was prepped, because yeah. It literally happened right after Apple's like, no, and then like, hey, we have a video prepared for exactly this.
But that's
moment.
Part of, but that to me, what is what made it scummy is,
yeah, that was a little bit weird.
Yes, you know, Epic sat down and thought, because they knew what Apple was going to say, and they sat down and thought about this whole thing before it even happened, and was prepared to release a PR campaign,
yep,
essentially to smear the iOS store and Apple to make them look like the old fogies in the room. And the thing that I get frustrated with this is because, as I said before, not only is it these two big companies, but unfortunately, this is a situation where it hasn't been consumer data is showing one thing or the other. This literally has nothing to do with how people are actually interfacing and buying
them
and buying the product. It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with the dope man not getting his cut and being a little bit upset.
Yep.
That's what this is. And so regardless of how the outcome of this happens or who gets the ruling in their favor, Callie is absolutely right. I don't think the consumer wins at all. And I'm just frustrated by this because, once again, big companies have decided the fate of how software and games development will move forward, and I don't think anybody is happy about that.
All right. Well, moving on. Unfortunately, sad to say, Actabliz closing down their French offices in Versailles. The fate of their couple hundred employees still remaining at that office remains up in the air. We don't know if they will be given an opportunity to transfer or move yet. But the French offices are closing down. Of course, they're pretty famous offices, as when the company was originally purchased by Vivendi back in the days. A lot of major games kind of came out of that office, like, you know, Diablo.
Yeah.
Some major stuff came out of there. So sad to see the offices closing down. I hope their employees will be kept on in some way. I don't foresee that being the case.
Is this a COVID thing, or is this just an Actabliz was going to do it anyways?
Yeah, it's a little of both. It's a COVID thing. It's a we're trying to downsize sort of thing. It's, you know.
I mean, and let's be frank here. Actabliz has not had the best 2019 or 2020, to be perfectly honest with you.
And I'll bet you it was good for the higher-ups.
To be fair.
It was great for the executives.
I'm sure it was. But
the thing about it, and you know, again, what makes this frustrating is, you know, COVID-19 did put, you know, a lot of companies in the red. I'm not necessarily saying they lost a ton of money, but a lot of people lost money this year. But video games was an industry that grew during COVID. Mm-hmm. And so it continues to be a little frustrating to see video game companies downsize or close studios at a time where you know that jobs are at a premium right now. You know people are struggling. And the video game industry continues to grow. So
can I ask this?
Yeah.
Outside of BioWare, is there a company, a gaming company, that has lost its luster more than Blizzard? Than Blizzard.
Not in recent memory.
That's what I mean. Like,
not in recent memory.
What would be the comparison?
I can think id back
Atari?
In the day. Atari.
When it plummeted?
Yeah. Yeah, that's about it. I mean, because what they've
Sega?
Done. Well, okay, here's the problem. Sega's problem was not its image. Sega's problem was complete, the market spoke. That was Sega's
that's
problem.
Fair.
They didn't have an image issue. Actabliz has an image issue. in the same sense that EA has an image issue. So that was what happened there. BioWare put out a series of games that sucked.
That flopped, yeah, that were not good.
That were
and
not
going,
good.
And I got to tell you, the new Dragon Age, I don't have a whole lot of hope for either.
Yeah, and so, you know, I think, you know, as ActiBlizz continues, I mean, they got to come with heat at this next BlizzCon, at the Digital BlizzCon, they're going to, but they got to come with heat because the only thing that gets people hyped is games, period.
There's two things that could, and I'm not going to mention Activision because Call of Duty is its own animal, but I think the two games that maybe what they're waiting for is Diablo 3.
Four. We better not be waiting for Diablo 3.
We're waiting for Diablo 3. We wait forever. Yeah. Diablo 4, sorry. And Overwatch 2.
Yeah.
I mean
but how, like, what? I feel like Overwatch 2 is kind of this thing that they just keep throwing into the ether.
No.
It doesn't exist.
I will tell you this.
Why am I caring?
Diablo 4 looks cool. Yep. I think they completely ruined the luster of Diablo with the Immortal announcement. I think people have been turned off to Diablo. I think the franchise, people will be hyped. They will buy the game. The game will look good. I think people are really, really, really down on Diablo. Overwatch, on the other hand, is suffering a crisis of identity because through its esport, they had no clue how to balance the game, what to do with the game, where the future of the IP was going. Overwatch 2 is a big old reset button that they can say, here's the vision.
That's a fault of ActiBlizz as a whole because the CDL is all over the place. Too.
But the CDL at the end of the day, the CDL functioned.
It got to
where it needed to go in a prompt, organized way. And I put that at the feet of Joanna Ferries, their commissioner, who is now the commissioner of the Overwatch League as well.
I just feel like Overwatch 2 is a classic case of a game getting a sequel before anyone really wants it to. When they say, you still have plenty of room to work within this game, why are we getting a sequel?
You know what? Dead by Daylight, and I'm always touting how good they are, because they do things the right way for their community.
Mm-hmm.
The way that they do it is instead, like Among Us is doing this too, instead of releasing a sequel, they're like, screw it, we'll make the graphics better in this. We'll do it slowly over time. We'll fix the code. We'll make it more exciting.
In an age where games are all digital anyway and just update as you go, it's like you need to give me a real compelling reason to give me a sequel.
Here's the problem is with Overwatch 2, they have to redo the game. Yes. To do what they need to do, they're talking about single player, story stuff, all this stuff. They have to redo the game. Now, I'm not saying they're busting it down to, you know, its foundations from a code level, but Overwatch 2 is damn near a rebrand in that sense. So it is the reset button for that franchise. I think what happened is that Overwatch came out and was better than even Blizzard anticipated it being, because it's a... At the end of the day, I hate when people say, oh, Overwatch sucks. Shut up. Overwatch is a great game. It doesn't get as popular as it is or was or whatever by being a crap game.
Yeah.
But the problem is that it didn't know what it wanted to be. It didn't know if it wanted to be an esport and that's how you balance. It didn't know if it wanted to be casual and that's how you balance. You got to pick one. So if you pick one, go from there. So that is that. And I hope that Overwatch 2 is great, but that's the only way I see ActiBlizz getting a lot of his goodwill back.
All right, last bit of news today coming out of Riot Games. The Oceania region is being shut down for Pro League of Legends. There will be no more Oceania region in 2021.
Yeah.
Players who are in the Oceanic region can play in the LCS without taking one of the import slots.
Oh, very good.
Effectively, Oceania players can play for LCS, which, by the way... Listen, if you think we suck in North America, just come on, say it. I don't need you to be like, well, we'll just merge you in Oceania. We get it. We're the bad region, so you put
because I guarantee you they probably took that to the PCS region, which is Macau, Hong Kong, Taiwan, and they were like, absolutely not. We don't want those scrubs. Send them to the LCS. They'll take them.
Yeah, exactly. The LPL was like, so, they'll get murdered here.
Why does this change happen?
It's Australia.
Well, I know, but why is this change happening?
I don't think Oceania can justify having its own competitive region anymore.
No, it's just not popular there?
Well, it's three reasons. One, you don't get the viewership. Two, you don't have the infrastructure because it's Australia and your ping is atrocious. and really, number three, there's COVID-related reasons too, like with most things. I mean, when you take away the ability to secure the competitive integrity of your esport, whether it's online or in person, Australia is just so remote that it's hard to do any of that stuff.
I guess I always compare it to the strength of like CSGO and their oceanic region is huge, and Fortnite too, actually.
And here's the thing, like when I look back through the years of world championships, when's the last time an oceanic team did anything competitively
in league,
it's never happened to my knowledge. And I mean, listen, far be it from me to criticize, North America hasn't done anything relevant basically ever either.
Yeah,
we had a semifinals appearance was our best,
but at the same time, the mass fandom in America is very different.
The brands, a Worlds without Cloud9 is a big deal. Cloud9 not being there is a big deal. If there was a Worlds with no Team Liquid, that would be a big deal. So,
yeah, who else would be able to get into groups and then not win a game?
Plenty.
Haha. But, it sucks. That means people are out of jobs. That means players are going to have to figure out where else they can go. I don't see a lot of them coming to the LCS either. And I think that's the part of it that I guess is the most frustrating, because some of these players, to be quite frank, are probably not even good enough to play in the LCS. So, yeah, it's not great. But
isn't it sad when that's the low bar? Could they make it in the LCS? No.
Yeah, I know. It sucks a lot. But we're going to have more coming up on Checkpoint Daily, where we are going to talk about this PS5 deconstruction video that has triggered my ASMR. So I watched it about 5 times already. But we got a full look at the guts of the PlayStation 5, and we're going to talk about it coming up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Step into the secret lair of the great Landis and Professor Awesome on The Other Identity. Join in on the adventure of a lifetime as Robbie Landis and former editorial director of digital content at Marvel, Ben Morris, team up to defeat the evils of bad comic book opinions. We've added a new voice to the line in Kevin Kelly as The Opinion. We also break down the newest issues of heroes like The Hulk or Captain Marvel. Discover a whole new lair to the world of superheroes and comics on The Other Identity. Download at CheckpointXP.com or download from Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Checkpoint Daily. Norris Howard here for Chad Callahan and Callie Sloan. Just so you know, if you haven't already, make sure that you guys are subscribed to the podcast feed. That's on Google Podcasts, BPod Studio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcast is where you can find us. And every Wednesday, you can catch us out at twitch.tv/checkpointxp, where we record not one, but 2 episodes of Checkpoint Daily. So if you know you won't have time to listen on your podcast, come on into the Twitch channel and you can get 2 for 1. So now I want to talk about this because I really enjoyed this video. The console wars rage on, and PS5 has put out a video where one of their hardware developers completely broke down the entire system.
The PS5,
took it apart.
Yeah.
He took apart the spaceship.
He took the spaceship apart with his hands.
For those who want a visual of what Norris was like watching this video, do you remember in Futurama when Fatbot is at college and he's like spying on the girl taking the case off of her PC? That was Norris. well, like licking the screen.
Well, because here's the thing, right? The PS5 is massive.
It's huge.
It's huge. It's thick. It is a thick boy. And I was very, very curious as to see what the hell is making this thing so big. Turns out it's the heatsink. But
the short answer, heatsink.
But I was very, very intrigued as to what is making up this system, because this is supposed to be the superior system, as they say it's supposed to be the superior system. As they took the system apart, I was really, really happy to see, you know, what decisions they made in terms of the hardware, what type of hard drive you're going to be able to put into it. Solid state drive you're going to be able to put into it. And let me tell you this. They got to be losing a fortune on each PS5 that they sell.
Well, that's not particularly uncommon. For those who don't know, typically speaking, developers do not make money off their consoles. They usually sell them at a loss, with the idea being that they make the money back on the games.
Yeah, but they got to be losing a lot because, first of all, I already mentioned the massive heatsink, which looks like it takes up about 30% of the weight and space of the entire console, which I cannot ever recall a heatsink on a console being
like that.
Like that.
I've never seen a heatsink like that in a PC.
Yeah, it was huge.
Yeah.
And so the big sort of concern about overheating consoles, I think, is very, very much so a real thing, considering the power that these things are going to be trying to put out. And it was good to see. Also, you mentioned the fan on that thing.
The fan is the size of my hand. Like, when he's holding it, he looks like he's struggling to hold it.
Like, it looked like, you know, you ever seen a child try to palm a basketball? It kind of looked like that. That's how big the fan is. And that's, again, one of the biggest criticisms against the PS4 is that the fan sucks.
It's a jet engine.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's loud.
It's obnoxious.
It collects absurd amounts of dust as roaches.
And you can feel it, how plasticky it is when you pick it up. And it's weird to see, like, I don't know if that's made of any metals, but, like, it looked solid.
Yeah, it looked like it was a really, really, quality build. Obviously, you're going to get your solid state drive in there, dedicated slot to your solid state drive where you get the stick. I forget what you call I forget the actual term for it, but it's not the box that you plug into the USB. It's the stick that you put inside, like your like a PC.
Oh, are we talking about the
solid state drive?
Solid state drive.
Yeah. So instead of having to buy, you know, external, you could get an actual freaking solid state drive and put it inside the machine,
which is nice.
Which is super nice
because you have control over how much. I mean, I don't know if there's a limit because a lot of things do have limits of like sizes.
Yeah,
but still, it's nice to be like, okay, here's my. This has this game, this game, this game, this game, this and then you take it out and put it in. It's going back to memory cards.
I was like, this really is the evolution of memory cards. I used to have that binder that had like your 8 memory cards in it that you'd write on the little piece of tape that says, oh, this is my Final Fantasy 9 save. Okay. We're going to literally go back to that where I'm going to have a solid state drive for my 200-gigabyte Red Dead Redemption 3 and another solid state drive for Grand Theft Auto 6.
If it gets to that
and another
point,
solid state drive for God of War. Like, this is going to be insane.
I do worry that that's exactly what's going to happen because what's Call of Duty right now? It is over 100 gigs and then, Red Dead Redemption.
Call of Duty is almost 200 gigs.
Is it almost 200? Oh, my God. So, you're literally taking up, if you get a 1 terabyte, you got, 4 games on there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you're lucky.
I've gone from having the little 16 megabyte memory card to freaking 200 gigabyte solid state drive.
And that's still not enough.
And that's not enough. That's not enough.
Yeah, you're
gonna need a 2 terabyte.
You're gonna need a 2 terabyte, and that's still not gonna be enough.
And you know what's funny though, is that again, as with most things on social media, the fanboys have dug in their trenches and once again send shots across the bow of one another when it comes to this because one of the main criticisms I've heard of the PS5 is one, how it looks and how none of this stuff is particularly revolutionary, and also the hard drive space. And Xbox came out with a proprietary hard drive that they will allow you to use with the Series X and S. And I believe that's, what, $230 or something?
Something like
it's,
that,
it's
yeah.
over $200 for sure, and I think it was... I don't remember how big it was. Do you remember, like, the size?
I think
of it?
Was
it 200 gigs?
Yeah, 200 gigs, right, or something.
Which is
like
nothing.
That.
I could get 2 terabytes for probably $50 less.
Yeah, so for the same price for a solid state drive,
and it's a Seagate. It's a yeah, Seagate. The chat coming out with the facts.
It's a Seagate. Now it is worth noting that is for next gen games. Older stuff can be on any external.
Yeah,
but next gen games require this. It's a 1 terabyte Seagate.
Hold on.
Oh, it's 1 terabyte.
Hold
okay.
on. No. Still. Let's pull the bus over for a second here. Only for next-gen games? So you're telling me that if I have 1 terabyte of whatever, that I can't put whatever the hell I want on that hard drive?
If you have the new one, it can be either. Uh-huh. But if it is a next-gen game, it requires
the specific Seagate.
Okay.
If it's an older game, you can put it on any hard drive.
Okay. Okay. I'm wanted to clarify that because I was like, dog, if you telling me I can't put my old games on a new hard drive,
no, you absolutely
shut
can.
Up. Yeah. Okay. Cool. That's important.
Yes.
But you can get a terabyte or 2 terabytes of an SSD for cheaper than that.
Yeah.
At this
you can
point.
Get this currently on Newegg for $206.66.
Ugh.
That is expensive for a terabyte of hard drive.
Now, look up what a 2 terabyte solid state drive would be.
Oh yeah, let's look up baseline SSD. Digital.
You can get a Samsung 860 Evo. That's a 1 terabyte. 2 terabytes is $224.
So for $20 more, you get
an extra terabyte.
A whole extra terabyte. Double the space for $20 extra. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, that's a fleecing.
Well, they know what they're doing.
That's ridiculous.
They're losing money. They're losing money pushing out for $100 less. Mm-hmm. This is where they're making it up.
Well, yeah. No, you're right.
I mean, you're talking about $20 more for an extra terabyte of space. If you only want a 1 terabyte to match, $130.
Ridiculous. Anyway, but that was one of the big criticisms of the Xbox, and I think Xbox fired back. I know the Xbox UK Twitter page reply to that video with a, oh, if you want to turn the Xbox on its side, this is all you have to do. And they just sat it on its side.
And it looked the same height. And you're like, I didn't see a difference.
It's a cube.
But, I mean, listen, the one thing I will say about this PlayStation is that the stand that comes with it is really weird, but it allows it the console, if it's vertical or horizontal, to not sit on a surface. The console itself is not
kind of floating, really.
It's kind of floating. It's not touching the surface.
Which is good for the ventilation, which is probably going to lead to this fan working better.
Yeah.
Because I think the things about like the previous gens of PlayStations is like they were flat and they were always pushed in the back and the fans were always facing a wall, and when you moved it out, you collected all that dust. It was loud. It got
roaches.
Busted, got roaches. Yeah, it got everything. So they know where these are going. They're thinking ahead to, like, this is going into a small cube right under someone's entertainment system, and we need it to breathe.
Yeah, no, and that's one thing I will say is that from this teardown video that I was surprised by was just how much thought Sony put into the heat and air management of the system. Yeah. And I think that's something to be commended. I know the Xbox are going to be mad at me for this, but when I saw sort of what the inside of a Series X looks like, I'm like, oh my God, dude, something's going to crawl up in there and die, and you are not going to be able to use this thing.
Everything but the teraflops.
Everything is packed in so tight. But I thought this was a cool video. I thought it was transparent, which I'm all for. And I think if you were already, you know, much like the presidential election, I believe you have chosen your side already. So I'm not surprised, which way you're going.
At this point though, between the two systems outside of the games, it's
whatever.
No one's losing. Yeah. You're winning as a gamer. The consoles are both at a good price. Sure, you might have to suffer one end of the stick or another, whether it's PlayStation or Xbox, but honestly, this is going to be a great generation of gaming, I think, personally.
I hope so. I mean, for me, looking at how we ended this one, again, this was another gen where I go, I'm not sure how you get better. I'm not sure how gaming gets better. Yep. But they keep proving me wrong. So we will see. The last thing I'll say about the system architecture of the PS5 that I'm heartened by is that I recall back to Mark Cerny's talk that was supposed to be for TGS, or not TGS, GDC.
GDC, yeah.
Where they talked about they built the system architecture with the understanding that people will want to expand the hard drive.
Yep.
With the intention of, we want you, he literally said, there's going to be aftermarket hard drives that are not even out yet. Yep. Nowhere close to being out. 7 years down the line that we have thought about, and we want to make sure that in it those works. 7 years that what you get will work. So I think that's really cool, really intelligent. As Chad said, if you're a gamer, I don't think you lose with any console that you decide to work with. And that is going to be that. But that's going to be the show for today. I am super excited for really all these consoles to come out. But we want to hear from you. If you have opinions, if you watched the video, if it did it trigger your ASMR, are you going to watch it with the lights low and the headphones in? I suggest you do that. But for Chad Callahan and Callie Sloan, I am Norris Howard. We will see you tomorrow.
Boom. And every other day in the week.
Oh.
Outside the weekend.
That hurt. My lungs snapped. But lastly, before we head out, I just want to, you know, not let the comments in the chat go by. Capelli says 240 gigabytes says $30 at Micro Center. 1 terabyte is about 100, as you told us, Callie.
Yeah, so 240 gigabyte solid state drive is $30. That's effectively a memory card's worth modern terms. That's about what a memory card costs.
Yep.
So, yeah.
So, as with most things, didn't change much.
Yep.
And it didn't change much in terms of pricing.
Once again, E. Gabriel says, great show.
Thank you.
We remind everybody, make sure you subscribe to the daily podcast feed. You'll get content coming out of us 7 days a week, stuff you won't hear pretty much anywhere else, unless you happen to listen to the radio show also, in which case you will hear the stuff beforehand on the weekend.
You might get a little early sometimes.
You might get a little early.
It might be a little special. Like, I know, I don't know if it's next week. We'll figure it out. But we have a special interview coming.
Yep. But this show is one we do every day for that day's release. Like, we just finished recording this one, and it's going up in an hour.
Yep. So goodbye.
On that note, goodbye.
Yeah, we gotta go. Sorry.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.